Good morning, everyone, and welcome to this worship service at Franconia Mennonite Church. Wherever you happen to be, we welcome you. We trust that this will be a meaningful time of worship for all of us and that we will experience the peace and presence of God this morning. My name is Larry Diener. I'm one of the pastors here at Franconia Mennonite, and we welcome you. Our mission statement is, led by the Holy Spirit, we are an Anabaptist congregation committed to following Jesus in all things so that God's love flows through us to our community and the world. Many of you were watching from home this morning, and of course we would rather be together in one place, and we're talking about that, how that might look when we start to get back together. But for now, this is the way we are, and we know that God is with us wherever we happen to be. I invite you to join in a call to worship that's taken from Psalm 107. I will read the leader part, and together we will read the people parts. So please join with me wherever you are. Psalm 107. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered out of the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. He has broken the gates of bronze and cut the bars of iron in two. Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. Let them exalt him in the congregation of the people and praise him in the assembly of the elders. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are good. You are a great and loving God, and we worship you this morning. And Father, we invite your Spirit's presence to be here with us today in this time of worship. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
I invite you to join along and worship with us and sing as we sing together as a quartet. A wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord. Please join us in worship.
Redeemer as mine. Join me in prayer this morning. Our Father, we come to you in praise today, realizing that our focus so often is easily twisted away from where it should be. With purposed hearts, we come before you just to tell you how great you are, how our minds cannot fathom your grace and mercy, how wonderful are your provisions, how incredible are your blessings. We praise you for not only who you are, but who you have always been and who you will continue to be, the God of the universe. God, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power. Nothing is too difficult for you. You are bigger than COVID-19 and any other circumstances we are facing. Please forgive us when we doubt and help us to have the courage to carry on. Lord, you are our faithful shepherd, and we thank you for providing for each and every day. Thank you for the safe arrival of Quinn Elise Rogers, and may you bless Kyle and Alicia as they welcome her into their family. Keep them all healthy and safe. Give a Kyle and Alicia extra strength and energy as their family grows. We want to also remember those who are feeling lonely during this time of seclusion. Lord, we ask that you would bring those who need a friend during this time to our thoughts, and then give us the courage to reach out to them. I pray that meaningful connections would be made. Lord, we want to remember our leaders at this time. Please direct them in the decisions that they make, and may they truly seek your guidance. And Lord, we ask for an anointing of your Holy Spirit. Make us a people of faith in a time of uncertainty. Make us a people of hope in times of trouble. Make us a people of compassion for those who are less fortunate. And make us a people of peace in our homes, our communities, our country, and our world. We ask all this in your precious name. Amen. I would like to share a few announcements with you this morning. And the first one being the safe arrival of a baby girl to Kyle and Alicia Rogers. Quinn Elise was born on Thursday, and she joins her big brother, Owen, and everyone is doing well. And we wanted to make you aware that Camp Grants will again be offered this year. So if you're interested in sending your child to summer camp at Spruce Lake and would like to apply for a camp grant through the church, please email Pastor Kyle for an application. And we ask that all camp grant applications be submitted to the church office no later than June 1st. And last week, we brought to your attention different ways in which you could get involved in helping those in the community with food needs. And we had focused on the Beanbag Program, Operation 52, Blue Buddies, Shalom Fund, and Chosen 300. And we wanted to make you aware that the food from the Sportsman's Dinner was donated to Chosen 300 as well. This week, I introduced a new children's offering project called the Big Red Picnic. This is a summer program through Satterton Area School District where they provide brown bag lunches to students needing food assistance over the summer months. The Children's Ministry would like to collect $120 to feed one student this summer. So kids, remember to decorate your brown bag lunch bags and to use this as your offering basket over the next few weeks. And next week is Mother's Day, and we need everyone's help to honor these special women in our lives. So dads and kids of all ages, this means you need to be the driving force behind this project. We would like you to please send in a photo with you and your mom, along with a descriptive word or message saying thanks for all she means to you. And before we move into this morning's meditation, we have a special video to share from our retirement community residents who wish to say hello, and a special thank you to Donna Gottschall for making this possible. Enjoy.
my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down.
Hey everyone, this is Pastor Kyle. So for today's scripture reading of Psalm 23, we thought it would be fun to invite the youth from both junior high and senior high to recite Psalm 23 for us. So Hannah, why don't you go ahead and start us off?
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want.
He makes me lie down in green pastures.
He leads me beside quiet waters.
He restores my soul.
He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake.
Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death,
I will fear no evil, for you are with me.
Your rod and your staff, they comfort me.
You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies.
You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows.
Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life.
And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Well, thank you to our junior high and senior high students for reading our scripture for us this morning. We come today to verse 4 of Psalm 23. We are in the midst of a 5-week teaching series through this psalm, and this morning we come to one of the most iconic phrases in the entire Bible. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I wonder if you have ever been there. I wonder if you have ever experienced that valley. So far in this series, we have looked at a number of images. We looked at the image of the shepherd, the image of green pastures, the image of still waters, and now this morning we come to another image, the image of the valley. Now, I said last week that Psalm 23 is at its core a psalm of trust. It is all about teaching us what it means to trust God more fully and more deeply. And so in light of our image for the morning, I think the question for us becomes, what does it mean to trust God when things are not going the way we'd hoped? What does it mean for us to trust God when it feels like things are falling apart? What does it mean to trust God when the shadow of death is bearing down on us? In other words, what does it mean to trust when we go through valleys in this life? What does it mean to trust in the midst of the valley? I think particularly in the midst of the situation that we are in right now, but then even forgetting coronavirus, in the midst of all of the different circumstances and difficulties we go through in our lives, I think that is an important question. What does it mean to trust in the midst of the valley? In Psalm 23, verse 4, I think we see two really important truths that speak to this question: the reality of struggle and the promise of comfort. Both of these themes show up in this one verse. The reality of struggle, that we will all encounter periods of difficulty in this life, but also the promise of comfort, that in the midst of those struggles, we can experience a kind of divine comfort. So let's look at both of those ideas together this morning. First up, we'll begin with the reality of struggle. Maybe we could just say it this way: the valley is inevitable. The valley is inevitable. David, the author of this psalm, says, "Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." Now, there is some debate among scholars about what David is exactly referring to here. Some believe that David is referring to death itself with this phrase. Others suggest that, he doesn't say he walks through the valley of death. He says he walks through the valley of the shadow of death. And so what he's referring to is at least a step removed from death. Other people argue, listen, this is just a poetic way to talk about the trials and difficulties of life. It may include death, but it may include a whole host of other things as well. So there are different ways of understanding what David is referring to. Frankly, I don't think we need to wade into and settle that debate this morning. For today, I think it is enough for us to say we can all relate to the valley experience. Whether the valley for you right now includes death, or whether the valley includes other struggles and difficulties in life, the truth is we will all experience periods of struggle in our lives. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what family you come from. It doesn't matter where you were born. It doesn't matter how much faith you have or how much money you make or how well you follow the rules. All of us at some point will encounter struggle. We will all walk through the valley at some point in our lives. Now, I don't say that to be depressing or to be overly negative. I say it because it's true, and I say it to highlight one of the things that we see in this psalm, which is that God never promises that our lives will be completely free from difficulty or distress. That is a really simple, but I think really important observation. God promises lots of things, but an easy and trouble-free existence is not one of them. In fact, if you study the words of Jesus, you see that Jesus teaches almost the exact opposite. Give you just one example. In John 16, Jesus is speaking to his disciples, and he says flat out, in this world, you will have trouble. So think about that. Jesus is speaking to his disciples, these guys who have given up everything to follow him, these guys who are completely sold out to God's purposes. And yet even to them, Jesus says, listen, you may be my closest followers, but even you will encounter struggle and difficulty in this life. I want you to set your expectations accordingly. Again, God never promises that our lives will be easy or pain-free. Now, at this point, you might be watching this thinking, okay, Captain Obvious, we are going to encounter struggles in life. Everybody knows that. You are not exactly breaking new ground here. And you're right. I have not said anything particularly new or earth-shattering this morning, but here's why I bring this up. I bring this up because our expectations play a significant role in how we experience reality. And if we have unrealistic expectations for how life is going to play out, that is going to set us up for disappointment and disillusionment and despair every time. And, you know, just to be completely honest, one of the things that I have observed in, you know, 15 years of being in pastoral ministry is I have observed that many people have unrealistic and unbiblical expectations when it comes to the pain that we encounter in this life. See, there is a mindset that can creep in ever so subtly that suggests there is a connection between how religious we are and the amount of pain that we experience in life, as if somehow having faith will shield us from all pain and all difficulty. Now, that's obviously not true, but man, I can't tell you how many conversations I have had with people who have expressed some version of that false expectation. Like, hey, if I just follow all the rules, if I just believe all the right things, if I just have enough faith, if I just pray hard enough, if I just keep God happy, if I just be a really good person, if I just do all of those things, God is going to reward me with an easy and pain-free life. If I keep up my end of the bargain, God will keep up God's end of the bargain, which is shielding me from all difficulty and distress. That is the expectation that many people have. The only problem is that's not what we see taught in Scripture. And you can probably attest to this from personal experience. That is not the way life works. The truth is, it doesn't matter how good you are, how religious you are, or how faithful you are. Because we live in a broken and sin-soaked world, we will all experience struggles in this life. That's what we see in Psalm 23, and I am grateful that Psalm 23 names and acknowledges this reality. It helps us set our expectations accordingly. Thankfully, though, that's not where the psalm ends, and that's not where this verse ends. There is another equally powerful, I would suggest even more powerful truth that we see in this verse as well. So notice how the verse concludes. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. So the valley is inevitable, but comfort is available. The valley is inevitable. We will all experience times of struggle in our lives, but the hope, the promise, the good news is that in those seasons of struggle, divine comfort is available. Look what David says. Even though I walk through the valley, I don't need to fear. Why? Because you are with me. You refers to the Lord there. The presence of the shepherd allows him to walk through the valley without fear. In other words, the shepherd does not leave during times of darkness. The shepherd does not leave during times of difficulty. The shepherd does not leave during times of distress. The shepherd remains, and it is the presence of the shepherd that provides comfort. Now, we could talk a little bit about what the rod and the staff would have represented, but essentially they are manifestations of the shepherd's presence. And that's where I want us to focus, on the presence of the shepherd. So notice what David says. He is actually saying something significant here. So in verse 4, he says, even when I'm walking through those inevitable valleys that we will all face, I do not need to have fear. I can experience comfort because the shepherd is with me. And in verse 1, he identifies who his shepherd is. The Lord, Yahweh, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, here's why that is significant. Did you know that this metaphor, this image of the shepherd, was actually very common in the ancient world? See, David is not the first one to use this image of the shepherd. Psalm 23 is not the first time that the idea of trust and allegiance is linked with the concept of a shepherd. It was actually fairly common at that time for kings to refer to themselves as shepherds. So, for example, you can see there a painting of King Hammurabi. King Hammurabi was frequently referred to as a shepherd. And actually, we even see other places in the Bible where kings and leaders are called shepherds. There are two references there. And then it wasn't even just kings. Other so-called gods, other deities at that time were also referred to as shepherd. I'll give you a few examples. In Babylon, they had a god of justice called Shamash. They said Shamash was shepherd of the lower world, guardian of the upper. In Assyria, there was Tiglath-Pileser, who was called shepherd of humanity. In southern Mesopotamia, there was a Sumerian god named Enlil, who was referred to as the faithful shepherd, the master of all nations. There are more examples, but you get the point. This was a common metaphor. There were many different shepherds in the ancient world, different authorities clamoring for people's attention and affection and trust. And so when David says in Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd," that is not only a statement about who God is, that is also a statement about who all those other authorities aren't. Because a sheep can only have one shepherd. And so for David to say, "I place my trust in the Lord," for David to say, "In times of struggle, my comfort is found in the presence of the Lord," that necessarily implies that his trust isn't in and comfort is not found in those other authorities. Now, in our world, we have different things competing for our attention and our affection. Least for me, King Hammurabi and the Babylonian god of Shamash don't really hold a lot of sway over my heart. But there are some other things that do. There are other things in our world which compete for our time and our attention and our affection. There are other competing shepherds in our world that when we go through times of difficulty and distress, we are prone to seek our comfort elsewhere. Truth is, there's a lot of things in our world that people put their trust in above God. Quite frankly, and I don't mean to be overly harsh with this, but there are lots of things that even Christian people put their trust in over and above or before God. Whether it's money or wealth or comfort or security or our careers or our family or our country or politicians or ideologies or government or technology or romance or entertainment or education or the military or our own morality, our own intellect, our own ability or sports or TV shows or friendships. Man, we put our trust in all kinds of false shepherds. Now, that's not to say that all of those things are bad. Some of them are actually quite beautiful and life-giving. But in moments of despair, in times of need, when we are struggling through the valley, those are not the shepherds that we need. Those are not the places in which we find the kind of deep, lasting, ultimate comfort that our souls were designed to experience. The brilliant Brené Brown talks about this in one of her recent books, Dare to Lead. She writes that we all have a tendency, particularly when we walk through seasons of adversity, to engage in something called numbing. She says, we all numb. We all have different numbing agents of choice. Work, food, social media, shopping, TV, video games, porn, relationships, money, caretaking, gambling, sex, staying busy, planning, perfectionism, constant change, the internet. She is describing here some of those places that we turn to for comfort when we are walking through seasons of the valley. The problem is, none of these things actually address our pain or provide real comfort. They simply numb or mask what we're really feeling. She continues, the author Jennifer Loudon calls our numbing devices shadow comforts. When we are anxious, disconnected, vulnerable, alone, and feeling helpless, booze and food and work and binge watching endless hours of TV feel like comfort. But in reality, they are only casting their long shadows over our lives. As usual, I think Brené Brown gets it right. And I think that raises an important question for us. Where do we turn to for comfort when we experience adversity? Now, I ask that question with the collective we, but let me ask it again a bit more personally, a bit more direct. What about you? What about your life? Where do you turn for comfort when you experience struggle and adversity? Gang, there are a lot of shepherds out there, each of them vying for our attention and our trust. But the only one worthy of our full attention and our ultimate trust is the Lord, the one in whose presence we can experience comfort. So maybe you're watching this morning and you are going through something. You're experiencing some kind of difficulty or distress in your life right now. And so all of this talk so far about the valley, this is not just abstract concept for you. This is your current reality. Maybe somebody you love recently died. Maybe somebody left you who wasn't supposed to leave you. Maybe you've experienced a loss of a job, loss of a house, loss of an opportunity. Maybe you have some kind of addiction, some kind of broken relationship, some kind of destructive pattern of behavior. Maybe there's a newborn baby or a rebellious teenager or an aging parent, and you are just overwhelmed with the thought of how to best care for this person. Whatever it might be, those are just some examples. But if you are struggling this morning with your family, with your kids, with your relationship, with your own patterns of behavior, if you are struggling, I want you to know that there is hope. There is good news. What we see in this psalm is what we see throughout Scripture, which is when storms in life are their harshest, that is when God holds us most tightly. When we feel like we are completely lost and alone and like nobody understands, that is when God promises to come closest. When it feels like there is no way out and there's no one to turn to, that is when we cry out to God and God responds, in this world, you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. And because of that, you can experience the deep, lasting comfort that you need. So I think Psalm 23 is actually a microcosm of our lives. And verse 4 begins with the reality of struggle, but it ends with the promise of comfort. And if you are struggling this morning, I want you to know that the same thing is true in your life. The valley may be real, but it doesn't have the last word. God does. And when we place our trust in the shepherd of our souls, our struggles no longer define us, but instead can begin to refine us into the likeness of Christ. I don't know, don't know about you, but for me, that gives me great hope. So I want to end this morning with a couple of questions. You know, I've often said that sermons, at their best, are talks that start talks. So this is not the last word of the conversation. This is just the first word. I'm hoping that you'll continue to talk about these ideas, talk about these themes, talk about this psalm, talk about ways in which what we've discussed this morning applies to your life. So to help with that, a few questions for further consideration and conversation. First up, ask yourself, what tends to be my primary focus? Avoiding the valley or being faithful in the midst of it? We've already said this morning that the valley is inevitable. And so in some ways, avoidance is futile. So what would it look like for you to instead focus on being faithful in the midst of your struggles? Question number two, who or what am I drawing near in times of struggle? Where do I turn for comfort? In other words, what are those false shepherds? What are those shadow comforts that you tend to turn to? I actually think naming them out loud or writing them down on a list could be incredibly revealing and incredibly helpful. And then finally, question number three, what is my greatest prayer during my hardest seasons? When you go through periods of difficulty and distress, what is your greatest prayer in the midst of those valleys? Is your greatest prayer the resolution of your circumstance? Or is it that you would experience more of the presence of God? This final question was inspired by a prayer I came across a few years ago. And I will acknowledge I have been brave enough to pray this prayer only a handful of times. but I think it's right on. It comes from Eugene Peterson, and we will close with this prayer. I praise you for sufficient grace, all-powerful Christ. I thank you for the weakness that forces me to rely on your strength, for the pain that makes me seek your comfort, for every harassment that drives me to live by your peace. And I'll just add, for every valley that invites me to experience the comfort of your presence. Amen.
We invite you to join us in singing this song. We'll be singing the psalm that has been the focus, "The Lord's My Shepherd," and invite you to sing along, and the women will invite to sing stanza 3, "Yea, Though I Walk." Let's join together.
My soul he doth restore.
God has not promised that we will not experience valleys in our life, sickness and hardship and even death, but he has promised as our good shepherd to be with us through those times and all of the experiences of life. Following the benediction in just a moment, we're going to play a video of the Dock Mennonite High School Choir singing the song, I Believe. The Dock Choir was originally scheduled to be here in our worship service this morning on May 3rd, but obviously that is not happening. So we decided we'd like to play a video of them singing a song following the benediction. So now receive the benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you. May his face shine upon you and grant you his peace. Amen.